97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Lazy yellow moon coming up tonight, shining through the trees.
Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Mark Cox continues his vacation out to the wild, wild west. And, of course, I was the vacation killer. I believe Carl Middleman, our producer, was not even on the ground yet, and a text comes through. But it was a nice text, brother, check. And you said, I'm just about ready to land from your trip to Canada. Carl, how are you, buddy?
Pew, pew. I fished so well. And
you and me go fishing in the dark.
I did fish in the dark.
Uh-oh.
It was an amazing weekend.
Did your wife go with you?
No. This is a group of 15 guys.
Okay. That's right. What I thought.
So, the weekend started, saw Alicia Keys at Enterprise Center. She was fantastic. And then I went to my cousin Stuart and his wife Mimi, celebrated their wedding anniversary, went to that. Then,
wonderful.
Then I flew up to International Falls and then crossed the border and then got on a 1948 Beaver plane and flew 22 minutes to be dropped off in the water at the Pipestone Lodge.
Wow. Now, how many people are on that Beaver plane?
There was the pilot and my friend Miguel, who owns Guido's on the hill. So we
wonderful.
It was actually great. And the rest of the crew had been there already, but I had to go to my cousin's party. And he had just got back diving from Belize. So we both got together and we said, hey, let's go the next day. And the other guys needed us to come and help with the fishing. No, they did. They were slaying on their own. The other 13 people were doing great. We limited out twice. And so that was great.
Well, I've never done a Canadian fishing trip, but I grew up in Minnesota.
Right.
So, we had plenty of fishing
lakes
up north.
Yeah.
Well, it's technically like 14,000 some change, but I
that's
digress.
Not what's on the license plate, Bo.
But let me ask you some simple questions for anybody that's listening to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors thinking, I want to go on a Canadian fishing trip. How are the mosquitoes and were they giant and did you ride them?
We had extra strength DEET. Like the cutter and the off weren't working it. We had something called maximum DEET and it kept them away. And you know what? The flies are just as bad as the mosquitoes.
Ooh, they're not like horse flies where they bite though, right?
Yes, they are.
What?
Yeah, they was.
Oh no.
It's the lows here were the highs up there, which was great. So thank you, Ontario. Pipestone Lodge is where we stayed. Art and Jenny were fantastic. Bo, I have to tell you one thing. We went to a brand new fishing spot, two friends of mine. One of them thought they knew where they were going. It's really hard to get your bearings when you're up there. And so we got turned around.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were fishing in the dark, and they sent out a rescue party to find us. But
oh no, really?
Now, well, we were on our way back as soon as they turned the corner, and there we were. Because I had a picture of a map that I took the first year I went up there in 2017. Pulled it up on my phone. Got our bearings. We went into this bay, and I said, "I think this is where we are." And then, boom. I got us back.
You were the hero.
I'm the navigator. I'm one of those guys that when I go to a foreign city or a new town, I can usually figure out how to get to A to B. But it's different in the wilderness.
How long were you questioning whether you were lost? Because as a kid, we were stranded on an island for about 6 hours.
Uh-huh.
We were dropped off by the guy with the boat to go fishing, and he never showed back up.
Oh.
And we were there all night. It was crazy.
It was long enough that we were, trying to find places that we could spend the night if we had to, and B, worried if we were going to run out of gas.
Oh, man.
But
you did say A.
Yes.
Like Canadian A.
No, but you'll notice I'm not giving any names to protect the guilty and the innocent. What we needed to do was just calm down, stop, and get a plan. And that is what one of the people in the boat kept saying. we can't just drive. We need to stop and get a plan. And once we did that, we did it. And it was great. And it's something that we're remembering. And it's something that's fantastic. Yeah. I loved it.
In all the years you've been going there, have you ever had that moment like that?
Yes, we got lost in the same spot last year, but we ran into somebody. But then it wasn't at night. The problem, because, and that's what I kept saying, I was making one of the guys laugh. I'm like, all right, we know that way's west, because that's where the sun is. We need to go south. But the way that these lakes are up in Ontario, there's one channel that you got to find. And the landmarks that you need to find are usually in a well-lit area. Not this time.
Wow.
But we caught
all
a lot.
All in all.
It was fantastic. We
caught
walleye.
Yeah, all in all, a successful trip.
Walleye, perch, bass, northern, and we ate well. We did. We caught and we ate, and then we also caught and released. So that's what you do. That's how you make them bigger, Bo.
Man, there was a lake in northern Minnesota we'd go to, and it had Perch Alley. You could get the biggest perch you've ever seen in this lake, and we would sit there for hours and just boom, 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 hitting them hard. Oh, miss those days. Now, I did send you a brother check text last night as you were landing, so your vacation's over before you hit the ground. I also sent a brother check to Mark Cox, and I got crickets.
He put up a picture on social media that had a giant fish. And Kim St. Ange said, "What is that?" And he said, "A very close-up shot of a minnow."
Oh!
Camera angles mean everything.
It's all about perspective.
Uh-huh.
Well, welcome home, buddy. It's good to have you back. Just in time for Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. On this episode, we are going to be talking to Tim Chelsvik from DeerCast. He wrote how he thinks hunting can change the woke mentality, and we're going to go on a field trip. So stay right there for Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory, featuring Glock handguns. If you do not own a Glock and you are maybe looking to own just one for personal safety and range time, well, I suggest the Glock. The Glock is a versatile firearm. Glock 43X is my preferred choice. Go into Razorback Armory and check out the huge array of Glocks that they offer. Find more information and the address at RazorbackArmory.com. Now, a guest of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors a lot over the last several years and the inception of this show is Tim Chelsvik. Tim Chelsvik is from Drury Outdoors and DeerCast.com, and he wrote an article that really impacted me, and I wanted to share the article with you, and you can also, again, go to DeerCast.com to read it yourself or read it and share it if you'd like. But the article was put out a couple of weeks ago, and I really wanted to get it out there to as many people that could hear it, because the title of it is awesome. From DeerCast Daily, it says, "How Hunting Defeats Woke Culture." We live in a very confused world right now, but hunting can help, writes Tim Chelsvik. He posted this on July 16th, just a couple of weeks ago. He says, "You don't have to look hard to see the issues at hand. Grown men pretending to be something they're not and utterly destroying the competition in women's sports. Politicians forgetting they work for the American taxpayer and not some shadowy global interest. School districts deciding to do away with grades but proudly installing litter boxes in bathrooms for kids." That line caught me in this article because I have heard those murmurings going on about that, and it's true. It's happening in some schools. But the article continues, "I know that's a lot of red meat, and there's a whole lot more I could throw on the pile, but you're already aware of what's happening. Maybe it'd be more helpful to identify what's at the root of all these issues. We are living out of the logical conclusions of a worldview that is literally fought like hell to divorce reactions from actions, consequences from decisions. All you got to do is act naturally," the article goes on. "For the majority of human history, natural law was implied. Everyone knew it, and I maintain at some level they still do. Procreative acts lead to babies. Eating too much makes you fat. If you don't work, you don't get money. Having a Y chromosome makes you a male. Poking a bear gets you mauled. These aren't issues of social justice or right or wrong or even fairness. They just are. So where does hunting factor into the modern day miasma? The best remedy for fallacy is truth, and the best anecdote for pretend is reality. Real things stand bold and firm in the harsh light of day. They don't mandate mental gymnastics to believe or require everyone play pretend in order to be accepted. Hunting is one of the most real experiences a person can have. There's no undo or back button once you've pulled the trigger. An animal won't respawn after you've killed it. You can't report a buck to the admins if he hangs up just out of range at last light. There's no sensor graphic placed over a bad shot. You can't cancel a neighbor who killed the deer you've been hunting for 3 years. Rain, heat, cold, EHD, wind. Hunting forces a person to come to terms with reality, the way things are, and very quickly you realize the real world is quite indifferent to your feelings and desires. Don't just take our word for it, the article goes on. If you want to inoculate your friends and family against this woke onslaught, take them hunting. Get them outdoors where nature hasn't yet got the memo that it can reimagine its very existence. Bucks still breed does. Coyotes still consume meat. The list of injustices and inequities in nature continue on with a high level of harmony and yet, surprisingly, very little confusion. When we hunt, we step into a world governed by immutable laws of consequence that reminds us of how life ought to be, how we ought to live, how each of us was designed for a specific purpose with a real identity and a meaningful role to play, how actions have consequences. Hunting's critical role in saving our country. The article goes on and ends with, maybe that's why there's so much modern pressure against hunting. Maybe it's really a bulwark standing resolute against the evil nonsense we see today. Maybe that's why hunters and hunting continue to be targeted by antis. Take us out and you've effectively gutted a major pillar from our constitutional republic founded on Christian principles. So, keep hunting. Share the wonder and reality of it with everyone you can. Invite friends of different stripes over for wild game dinners. In the end, it may be the sword and shield that stem the tide against this intentional woke cultural confusion. And with that, we have the author of this article, Tim Chelsvik, to expand a little bit more on what he wrote and how he's feeling and what the feedback has been. And I also want to talk to him about Jason Aldean because he's also a country music fan. Tim, how are you, man?
I'm great, Bo, man. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You know what? And Tim, it wasn't that long ago that we had you on, but then this article that you wrote came out of your heart, and I really appreciate it because I've read it several times now, and I'm encouraging anybody to go to DeerCast.com to read the article and share it if they want to because I thought it was very profound because when it comes down to nature, Tim, you know the rules don't change much, right?
Yeah, and thanks for reading that, and thanks for anyone who stuck around long enough to hear the whole thing. I will say, if I ever write a book someday, I want you to read it.
Oh, I do that already. I do that. Yeah, I've got about six audiobooks under my belt. Anyways, what's the reaction been on this article, though?
Well, so we had like almost 190 comments on the article. And I would say 95% of them were very positive and almost beyond positive. In fact, they were like energized. People were really empowered by what I had written. There were four people out of everyone else who were one guy called for me to lose my job.
Wow.
And the other guy said that I was a right-wing mouthpiece for Ron DeSantis. And then I was very unoriginal. And so as open-minded and empathetic as these people claim to be, the one guy wants my children to go without food and medicine, apparently, and for me to lose my job.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you know what, though? Here's what we're doing. You and I, in this conversation, we are following the roadway to woke because you had a whole bunch of comments, but yet we focused on the negative. I can tell you a couple of the positives that I read. Dean wrote on there 5 days ago, woke culture is nothing more than a nice way to say communism sounds better anyway. Fight it at every turn. I love that comment. Dustin wrote, man, you're 100% right. Clearly stated and well-written. You hit the nail on the head. Thank you, sir. So I'd like you to focus on the positives because I know you well enough that I know you wrote this from your heart, and we're all just trying to find answers, just like anything in life. So what are some other comments? What about within your company that you work for?
Well, so I published this a couple of Sunday mornings ago, and I was in church, and I got a little notification. I don't do this often, but during our during our sermon, I popped down and I looked to see, and I saw some of the negative comments, and I thought, oh no, this is going to become a thing. Because Bo, I really tried to not make this a political thing. I was really, it's more a cultural and kind of a sociological commentary. But I started seeing political comments come through, and I was thinking, okay, well, I push some buttons and people are reacting, which is, you know, not always a bad thing. But then I started wondering, like, what is our organization? Because we have 4 television shows. Obviously, we have this app. We have a YouTube channel. We have a podcast. We have a lot of different ways that we interact with people. Is this going to become a problem? And it wasn't very long until Mark Drury, one of our owners, popped in, and he was defending me against one of the guys. Good. that had something negative to say. And Mark was like, "This is an awesome piece. Thanks for writing this, Tim." And to the one guy that said Deercast needed a new editor in chief, Mark Drury said that Tim is a rock star in our organization, and he's safer than me and my brother Terry Drury.
And you are the editor in chief too.
Yeah. So you know, that was because we've all heard the stories of brands that come out and they make a stand, and then they start to face some headwind from the woke culture. And they fold, they delete the tweet, or they pull down the ad, or whatever it is that riles up these babies. Then they kowtow to that and they bend. We did not do that. We left the article up. I had to moderate some of the comments written by some of the 4 guys that had a real problem with it, because they used really filthy language and really violent language in there. Ugh. I did moderate some of that, but pretty much everything else is as is. And even within our organization, a couple of our ladies that work in customer service for Deercast and order fulfillment, they sent me a message. They said, "Oh my gosh, Tim, thank you so much for writing this. You've said what so many of us have thought, and I'm proud to work for this organization, and even more proud after having seen Mark Drury step in and defend you and this article the way that he did. It makes me proud to work for Drury Outdoors."
Wow. That's great.
And that's probably most of us. Like, it pushes so far, and we're going to push back. And I think a lot of what we're seeing right now in mainstream culture is people like me who have pretty broad shoulders, and we don't react to everything that we see. And we can scroll past things that we don't like, and we don't boycott everything. But we can only take so much. And we start getting concerned about our kids and the kind of world they're going to grow up in, and the economy, and things that really matter. And so we're gonna fight back. We're gonna push. And so that's some of the fallout that's happened from this. I think people have been energized, I'm sad that it had to come to this and writing something like this, but I am proud to have done a little part in this awakening.
Yeah. You know, sometimes a lot of people want to just, turn their cheek and not be aggressive or whatever. And it's really not even it's not even being aggressive. The article is very thoughtful, and you can tell it's written from your heart. But it's amazing what does light a fire under somebody's butt to come, you know, and publicly, defame you or threaten you or whatever the case is. That's the world of the internet, because everybody has access to it. But I would say that the first lesson is never open your phone in church, number one.
Agreed.
Because even the evil one will find you there. You got to be. You got to be there. He's hunting. Talk about the greatest hunter.
Yeah.
That's the scary part. In the article, I did read it verbatim, and I did want to ask you to explain. You mentioned EHD as in one part of it. Explain what that is, because I read it as though I knew what I was talking about, but I didn't. But let me just go to the part that it has that in there, because I just want people to understand. So the line is, you can't cancel a neighbor who killed the deer you've been hunting for 3 years. Rain, heat, cold, EHD, wind. What's EHD?
EHD is an acronym for a disease that deer are susceptible to, and it's called, it's short for epizootic hemorrhagic disease.
Okay, EHD.
It's a virus-borne disease, and it tends to impact mature bucks more than does and young bucks, and so it makes it really hard, especially you get into August and September. Really, it's a problem until you get the first hard frost of the year that kind of kills off the bugs that carry EHD virus. But you may be watching a buck all summer long. You may have hunted them for 2 or 3 years, and you think, okay, this may be the year. And then you get to late August to early September, and the rains dry up, and things get dry, and ponds go a little muddy. And that's prime time for deer to contract EHD, and you may lose that deer that you've been watching and investing in for so long because of epizootic hemorrhagic disease.
Okay.
And there's not a whole lot you can do about it. And so that was kind of the point, is like, is that an injustice? Like, it just is.
Yeah. We can't control the weather. We can't control disease, or, you know, we try, but we, you know, it's not something that an average hunter can control of an animal, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
The other line that got me was modern day miasma. I said it like I knew what it was.
we'll go through, we'll do a little dictionary.com work on this one, but really that's like a fog, like a confusion that is aloft in the air.
Okay.
And that's really what I feel like. You know, so many of us are so busy trying to put food on the table, trying to, you know, serve at our local church and do all the things. But yet our culture is just adrift.
Right.
And we keep trying to remove God from everything we do, and then wonder why the wheels are falling off the machine. It's like, well, very few people don't have these kind of internal controls that allegiance to a higher power creates.
Right.
And,
okay.
So that's the modern day miasma, is just this weird cultural confusion that so many people are living in right now.
Okay. I know, although on the Odyssey app, you can rewind and listen to it again, but I may have even mispronounced a little bit, but anyway, thanks for clarifying. Hey, I did, before we hang up, I do want to mention Jason Aldean and the world that he's in right now with his new song, which is been out a couple of months, Try That in a Small Town, because I thought of you, because we are both country music fans for many years. What was your gut reaction on that? Because I think it may have felt a little similar to what you went through with the four guys and making comments on your article.
Yeah, it's interesting the timing that came out on that. And I was watching the comments on the YouTube video on his YouTube channel, and the comments were pouring in. Like, you refresh the page and suddenly there's another 500 comments.
Right.
In the span of just a few minutes. And I think that tells you, like, there's a pressure point here. There's so many people that feel like they have been shut down and they have been spoken down to, and their values are maligned, and we have so much jammed down our throat. So I was glad to hear that song came. I'm not sure exactly who wrote it. I'm glad that he picked it. I'm glad that he got it produced. I'm sad to hear what CMT did in pulling that. I don't know what the latest on that is.
I heard Hank Jr. Resigned from the board, and Blake Shelton cut a deal off that was going to be millions. By the way, songwriters were Kelly Loveless, Neil Thrasher, Telly Kennedy, and Kurt Michael Allison. I know the Neil Thrasher name, but I don't know any of the others. But, you know, when you look at the lyrics of it, you can pull it up, you know, try that in a small town lyrics. There is nothing vicious about it. And why does the mainstream media focus on what the ladies of the View are talking about when it comes to this? It's like, why do we keep going back to that same well? It's maddening to me. But it's a great song, and the video is very impactful. We've seen, you know, it's nothing we haven't seen on you know, news at night kind of stuff from the last couple of years. And I think it's just going to elevate Jason's career, because he had the cojones to put it out, number one. He was obviously affected by it. And, you know, he's a family man like yourself, wants to protect his family, wants to you know, make a paycheck and you know, do the right thing. So yeah. I think if you think about that, just think of a small town that you are aware of. You know, I know towns that are hundreds of people, not even thousands. And it's true. There's none of this craziness going on in these small towns.
Nope. And people want to inject different issues into it, like racial issues or political issues or yeah. sociological issues. And it's just, they're just trying to infect a simple song that pretty much says people in a small town take care of each other. They look out for one another. They live in community. And we need more of that right yeah. now. You talk about people who live in inner city St. Louis, when they talk about like, what do they need? Like, we need more cops down here patrolling. We need more help.
Yes.
I think we could use that small town mentality all over, frankly. And you just like, I called out hunting as a bulwark against this cultural onslaught. Country music is a holdout also, and I feel like these sources that want to push this social narrative, they are trying to take out country music because it also is kind of a defender of traditional values and traditional culture.
Yeah, you know, a couple of times I will tell you on Twitter, I've been scrolling, and there's been a couple of people that have posted the lyrics of Try That in a Small Town next to the lyrics of, you know, whatever rap song there is. And it's like, oh, yeah. My goodness. I mean, that's an eye-opener.
Yeah, pretty tame.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. Anyway, Tim, always great to talk to you. Thanks for joining me as I'm running solo on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors this week. But it's always good to chat with you. We need to catch up and break bread again soon someday. That'd be good. You know what? Keep up the good fight, man. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, man. I appreciate what you and Mark do on the radio every week, too. So keep it up.
Good deal. We can find Tim at deercast.com and where else?
The Legion of Woodsmen is a Facebook group I run. If folks are interested in the outdoors and being healthy, that's where I do some free coaching.
Good stuff. Tim Chelsvik, thank you so much. This is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Stay right there for more.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Mark Cox continues his vacation this week. So what I did was I went on a field trip, and that sound you just heard was a machine. They call it a forester machine. Is that right?
Forestry mulcher.
Forestry mulcher. It's a deforester. Kyle Kasparek is my guest on this segment of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, and met up with him actually in Arnold. You just wrapped up a job here working with the city of Arnold, but I want to talk about that, but I also want to talk about the private work you do on people's properties. How are you, man?
Good. How are you?
Good. Business is good, obviously.
Oh, tis the season.
Getting that government cheese. so the Arnold job, you said you've been out here for about how long?
About a couple weeks.
Yeah.
We've been doing some road easement work with them and assisting them.
Because they don't have the equipment that you have.
Right.
That's yep. That's how it works. Now, the machine you've got on the trailer right now is what exactly?
So basically, it's a excavator with a forestry mulching head on attached to it.
Okay, so it's an articulating arm with that forestry head. And if anybody's seen this thing, it's got how many teeth on it?
I think there's about 30 on it.
You know that number because you have to replace them every so often.
Yeah, they're high maintenance.
So, but you're not only doing government work or working with different municipalities, but if you are in a municipality listening to this program and you're thinking, man, we've got some problems and our brush hog can't get to it, you're the guy to call. Do you work with other cities, other counties?
Sure.
That's awesome. Yep. But what I really wanted to have you on was the private work. Now, Chief Wiegand out in Eureka has hired you a couple of times because as people are listening to this going, why are we talking about this on the Great Outdoors? So many people own property, Kyle, that, you know, they have a dream. They want to cut a trail or they want to, you know, make a bike path or something like that. But to get Uncle Earl and his freaking chainsaw, it takes forever to drop trees, cut them into logs. Tell us what Missouri Brush Control can actually do for somebody's private property if they want to turn, you know, they want to get access to the pond they have or the lake on their property.
Sure. Well, so we're a land management company that specializes in forestry mulching. And basically what that process is for instance, we just finished up a project for the conservation department where we went into an overgrown pasture. You know, it was a piece of property that had been neglected over the years and gotten out of control with, you know, invasive species like
Asian honeysuckle.
Yeah, honeysuckle.
I got that on my property.
And you know, hawthorn trees and blackberries. Just a mess.
Okay.
So the order was for us to go in and mulch basically anything that was 10 inches and smaller, hardwoods included, which basically in turn encourages the health for the older mature
sure,
trees.
Of course.
So, and then of course, once everything is mulched down to the ground, that mulch breaks down over time and, you know, it can be maintained by whoever the property owner
is. A brush hog, a
yeah,
mower, or something
right,
like that.
Right.
And so when the request comes in, the process is they call you, you go out to the property, and they tell you their dream, and you figure out sure, how you can hit the reset button for them.
Sure, sure.
You've used that phrase around me before.
Yep.
And make it a trail. I mean, you could probably go into a 10-acre piece of property and cut a nice bike trail or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, we do a lot of trails. We, you know... basically, it's a low impact way to clear land, you know, and leave the big trees and not damage any of the.
Okay, so talking about the big trees, do you work as opposed to loggers, or do you work adjacent with them? Do you ever work together with them?
We typically don't work together with them.
But they have a place.
Yeah, there's different ways to skin the cat, as it were. But,
right.
Yeah, basically, we're, you know, clearing out underbrush, small trees. You know, we have capacity to mulch up to like a 12-inch tree.
Right. Oh, and I've seen it actually yeah, happen. It's pretty amazing. A lot of people would look at that and go, hey, that's good firewood. But if time is of the essence and you want to enjoy that property, calling you is the way to go.
Yeah, or if you're, you know, we do work for custom home builders that don't want to just clear cut everything and you know, we go in and we open everything up so they can see what the way the land lays, and then once the house is built they have mature trees and it's not just the land's not raped.
Right.
And then also behind that, once we mulch a property or clean it back up, you know, then there's other things that we can do, fix drainage or grading and those sorts of things.
Because Missouri Brush Control also has that equipment.
Again, we're a land management company. So
gotcha. You know, I've not been familiar with the category of business that you're in. There are other people out there, but it seems like, you know, if you're working for private landowners that have that property. They bought it. Maybe they've had it in the family for years. They just haven't done anything because, like I said, it takes too long. It's too much effort. People don't have the equipment. But it really, in some instances, is so quick. Day or two that you're out
Yeah.
And they're getting to their pond or whatever.
Yep. I'm glad you bring up ponds. That's another big part of our business is pond dams.
Okay.
You know, ensuring the health and the structure of a earth dam.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, mowing a dam, let's say, is something that you know, let's say you have a property on the weekend, and you know, that you go to on the weekends. By the time you get there and you do what you're doing, you're not thinking about mowing that dam. And, you know, years go by, and then all of a sudden, you've got trees on that dam. Well,
get more at 971talk.com.
This is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Mark Cox continues his vacation this week. So what I did was I went on a field trip, and that sound you just heard was a machine. They call it a forester machine. Is that right?
Forestry mulcher.
Forestry mulcher. It's a deforester. Kyle Kasparek is my guest on this segment of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, and met up with him actually in Arnold. You just wrapped up a job here working with the city of Arnold, but I want to talk about that, but I also want to talk about the private work you do on people's properties. How are you, man?
Good. How are you?
Good. Business is good, obviously.
Oh, it is the season.
Getting that government cheese. So the Arnold job, you said you've been out here for about how long?
About a couple weeks.
Yeah.
We've been doing some road easement work with them and assisting them.
Because they don't have the equipment that you have.
Right.
That's how it works. Now, the machine you've got on the trailer right now is what exactly?
So basically, it's a excavator with a forestry mulching head on attached to it.
Okay, so it's an articulating arm with that forestry head. And if anybody's seen this thing, it's got how many teeth on it?
I think there's about 30 on it.
you know that number because you have to replace them every so often.
Yeah, they're high maintenance.
So, but you're not only doing government work or working with different municipalities, but if you are in a municipality listening to this program and you're thinking, man, we've got some problems and our brush hog can't get to it, you're the guy to call. Do you work with other cities, other counties?
Sure.
That's awesome. Yep. But what I really wanted to have you on was the private work. Now, Chief Wiegand out in Eureka has hired you a couple of times because as people are listening to this going, why are we talking about this on the Great Outdoors? So many people own property, Kyle, that, you know, they have a dream. They want to cut a trail, or they want to, you know, make a bike path or something like that. But to get Uncle Earl and his freaking chainsaw, it takes forever to drop trees, cut them into logs. Tell us what Missouri Brush Control can actually do for somebody's private property if they want to turn, you know, they want to get access to the pond they have or the lake on their property.
Sure. Well, so we're a land management company that specializes in forestry mulching. And basically what that process is for instance, we just finished up a project for the conservation department where we went into an overgrown pasture. You know, it was a piece of property that had been neglected over the years and gotten out of control with, you know, invasive species like
Asian honeysuckle.
Yeah, honeysuckle.
I got that on my property.
And you know, hawthorn trees and blackberries. Just a mess.
Okay.
So the order was for us to go in and mulch basically anything that was 10 inches and smaller, hardwoods included, which basically in turn encourages the health for the older mature trees.
Of course.
So, and then of course, once everything is mulched down to the ground, that mulch breaks down over time and you know, it can be maintained by whoever the property owner
is. A brush hog, a mower, something like that.
Right.
And so when the request comes in, the process is they call you, you go out to the property, and they tell you their dream, and you figure out how you could hit the reset button for them.
Sure, sure.
You've used that phrase around me before.
Yep.
And make it a trail. I mean, you could probably go into a 10-acre piece of property and cut a nice bike trail or something like that.
Oh, we do a lot of trails. We, you know, basically it's a low impact way to clear land, you know, and leave the big trees and not damage any of the.
Okay, so talking about the big trees, do you work as opposed to loggers, or do you work adjacent with them? Do you ever work together with them?
We typically don't work together with them.
But they have a place.
Yeah, there's different ways to skin the cat, as it were. But,
right.
Basically, we're, you know, clearing out underbrush, small trees. You know, we have a capacity to mulch up to like a 12-inch tree.
Right. Oh, and I've seen it actually, you know, happen. It's pretty amazing. A lot of people would look at that and go, hey, that's good firewood. But if time is of the essence and you want to enjoy that property, call and use the way to go.
Yeah, or if you're, you know, we do work for custom home builders that don't want to just clear cut everything and you know, we go in and we open everything up so they can see what the way the land lays. And then once the house is built, they have mature trees and it's not just, the land's not raped.
Right, right.
And then also behind that, once we mulch a property or clean it back up, you know, then there's other things that we can do, fix drainage or grading and those sorts of things.
Because Missouri Brush Control also has that equipment.
Again, we're a land management company. So
gotcha. You know, I've not been familiar with the category of business that you're in. There are other people out there, but it seems like, you know, if you're working for private landowners that have that property, they bought it, maybe they've had it in the family for years, they just haven't done anything because, like I said, it takes too long, it's too much effort, people don't have the equipment. But it really, in some instances, is so quick, day or two that you're out there.
Yeah,
and they're getting to their pond or whatever.
Yep. I'm glad you bring up ponds. That's another big part of our business is pond dams.
Okay.
You know, ensuring the health and the structure of a earth dam.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, mowing a dam, let's say, is something that you know, let's say you have a property on the weekend and you know, that you go to on the weekends. By the time you get there and you do what you're doing, you're not thinking about mowing that dam. And, you know,
yeah.
Years go by and then all of a sudden you've got trees on that dam. Well, what happens is those trees root through the dam.
Yeah.
They loosen the structure and then you have a leaky dam. So once we get to that point, then there's, you know, depending on the application, there's ways that we can rectify that and ensure that you can get that back under control.
And the dam stays strong.
Correct.
Yeah, you know, I just had a conversation actually with some friends out of Pasiglia that they said a great plant for dams is those like decorative grasses that grow really fast and, you know, up to 12 feet tall. Because the root system is so tight, it like...
So dense.
Yeah, it builds a web within the soil to hold that dam. And ironically, I also have a man-made dam on my little pond.
Sure.
So I never even thought about that. But give me a favorite project. Maybe it's Chief Wiegand because you want to get out of a speeding ticket. But give me an idea, because I have seen pictures of his project. He owns some property, and he called you and said, what I want.
I think probably the neatest thing for me is the transformation of just a a jungle to the finished product of when we have a mulching job that is just, you know, it's just dynamite, the transformation.
And the look on the homeowner.
That's the best part. Yeah. Well, other than the check.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. No, that is pretty cool because, you know, some people, they can envision it, but they don't know how to get to that goal. So when you have the equipment that you have, it's such a great benefit. And I truly believe that there are people that are listening going, man, this is the guy I need because my brush hog wasn't enough. You know, and a brush hog can do a lot of good work. But this, if you can describe, it's a spindle of steel teeth on the end of either on a skid steer or what is this, a track machine?
Yeah, this is an excavator.
Yeah. hundreds of teeth, or no, 30 teeth chewing at about what RPM are you running?
It's a little shy of 3,000 RPM.
So they call that high flow, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, this is, I think it's just a great opportunity because some people don't realize this is an industry and this is, you know, a company that they can hire. So as you're searching for property, or maybe you have property and you have a dream of maybe putting an outbuilding down, but you don't want to kill all the trees, you can get it cleaned up selectively.
Mm-hmm. Selective, yep, selective clearing. And yeah, and the best thing to do is give us a call and we can, you know, meet you on the property and come up, because there's, again, this forestry mulching is just one method, but you know, there's different applications, different, you know, depending on what you want as, you know,
the final
outcome,
product.
Yeah, the outcome to be.
Okay. So. Okay. No, that's good information. And have you done projects on your place?
Well, you know, I think it's kind of like anybody. When you get done doing this all day long, you go home.
If you're a plumber, yeah, your toilet at home still leaks. Oh, I hate when that happens. Okay. Well, there's some great video out there of what you do, and you got a great website. The website is
MissouriBrushControl.com.
Okay, simple as that. And yep. It's been a busy summer. Do you work year round?
Oh yeah, we stay busy pretty much year round.
Oh man. Okay. Well, you do have cabs in your machines that are heated and cooled.
Yep.
And stereo. Rough life.
Well, I gotta listen to you on the radio.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, only Saturdays at 3.
You and Mark, I gotta make sure I don't miss that.
and I will mention that Kyle has actually been a big proponent of Mark and I going out to the St. Louis Skeet and Trap Club out west of Eureka for some skeet shooting, which has been a blast.
No pun intended.
Oh yeah, no, actually I should intend that. But your daughter Ella.
Ella and Tess.
Who was on the radio with us that went down the Lake of the Ozarks?
That was Tess.
Okay, so Tess, and she's the younger one.
Correct.
They're having a good summer?
Oh, they're having a great summer.
Shooting better than we are?
Always.
Of course. Yeah. Got to watch them.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to your family and to your business. Again, it's MissouriBrushControl.com. And Kyle, thanks for the time, man. I'll let you get back to work.
Yep, thanks, Bo. Have a good one.
That is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you for listening to the show. Mark will be back with the program next week. And thanks for listening. Share the show wherever you can. And always go to the Odyssey app. Download that so you can take the show and the radio station anywhere you want. Have a great rest of your weekend. See you, boys.